If you see something, say something. At Reply, weird things come with any weird story you find on the web, and you can help make weirdthings.com even weirder. This episode of Weird Things is brought to you by Scam School Book 1, available right now. Folks, it's the compilation of over 80 tricks from the popular web series Scam School, starring Weird Things host Brian Brushwood. The material is from over 200 episodes. There's audio commentary on every trick, over 35 video demonstrations, and it's laid out beautifully. It's absolutely the future of instructional ebooks. You need to see it to believe it. Get all the information at scamschoolbook.com. And by Andrew Maine's Angel Killer, the brand new thriller novella available for only a dollar. In front of security cameras, a tourist vanishes from the top of the Empire State Building and mysteriously falls to her death moments later in Times Square. A young girl dies crawling out of her own grave after having been declared dead a year earlier. On Fort Lauderdale Beach, a missing World War II airman and his aircraft show up as if he only died hours before. They call the mysterious man behind these unnatural events the Warlock. To some, he's a messenger of a modern age of miracles. But to Jessica Blackwood, FBI agent and daughter of a legendary magic family, the Warlock is a trickster and a murderer, and she's the only one who can see through his deceptions. Angel Killer is available now on Amazon for only 99 cents. Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Weird Things, the podcast. I am Justin Robert Young, not Andrew Maine, who normally does this intro, because he is currently on a, he's actually currently in line in the LL security process to get on his way to Israel, so we'll the see, Holy Land.
We'll see him in a few years.
Yeah, so eventually he'll be back. But the voice you hear right there is, of course, the regular co-host to Weird Things, Brian Brushwood. Welcome.
Oh, my gosh. This is the first time I'm awake for the show. I was sleep podcasting all those other times.
And because we are legally obligated to have a brilliant science fiction writer on this show, we had to reach out to friend and author. Of course, if you have not checked out Scott's Sigler's podcast, please do it, because the man himself is on this show. Scott Sigler, welcome.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I'm glad I can pitch in.
I want to point out that Scott agreed to do the podcast with astonishingly little information about it. Like, there was sort of like, hey, it's a podcast about, and then before the ellipses was finished, he was like, sure, I'm free.
In.
Let's go.
Of course, remember, everybody, go check out Scott's newest book, Nocturnal, in stores right now. But Scott, so you don't know, all right, basically here's how this podcast works, is normally Andrew sets up these crazy scenarios.
What you would think is a scenario so outrageous, there's no way that is true. Only yes. Guess what? Turns out that it's true most of the
Sometimes
time.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a curveball. We will see. But you want to know what? Let's just roll in with one of these scenarios, okay?
Okay.
Scott and Brian, you guys are two hard-living, truck-driving brothers.
Already, this is hard to believe. We share a cab together, the two of us. We
You're
rotate.
Long-haul truckers.
Yeah.
You come from a poor family. Okay. This is the way you know how to make ends meet.
It's yeah.
Getting in the cab of a truck. You and your bro.
We got matching hats. It says BS on there for Brian and Scott. We call ourselves the BS truckers.
BS truck, and we know how to move.
That's our slogan. It's actually, it's got a nice cursive on the side of the cab that says that. So class it up.
There we go. All right. Now what would your last name be? Do you have, the BS movers, since you're of the same
family? Well, it's Brushlers. Brushlers, right?
The Sigler Brushlers.
Yeah.
Brian and Scott Brushlers. Brushlers.
Yeah.
It's the Brushler boys from Onaway, Michigan. Everybody knows them.
We got a long way to go. It's short time to get there.
All right. So the Brushlers. Unfortunately, there's not a ton of money in long haul trucking, especially when you're splitting it two ways. You know, it's a lot of long, hard hours. And all of a sudden, one day you're at a truck stop and this kind of wizened old truck driver's like,
truck
hey,
wizard?
You're the Brushler boys now, ain't you?
Yeah, we are. You caught us. We're just about to get our oil changed and get back on the old road to Colin. What can I do for you?
I'll tell you what. I do believe that there is an easier way that boys as strapping and young as you can make your fortune in a world like this. See, you're just as dumb as you are strong, and I think that there's a better way for the farrier. Would you like to hear it?
Hold on. I got to confer with, hey, Scott, this guy's clearly high on the meth, and he clearly is envisioning something that's not true. I say we punch him.
He's looking for a little brotherly love three-way, and I don't know.
You don't think we should, like, hit him up for his wallet, maybe pull the old funny bone scam? I make it up like old scams, like we have a history of as con men.
I love how now immediately you have to be con artists. You can't just be...
We can't just be long-haul truckers. Now we're con artists as well.
Can we be long-haul truck drivers who are also assassins and kill aliens? I'm just saying.
I'm down with all of those. Now, we have to pretend for the public like that's not true, but you and I both know we did that job on Pluto, and it was a good one.
Yes.
All right. Well, now listen, boys, I guarantee you that what I have to offer is, yes, physical, and B, involves a lot of money, and C, is not three-way gay sex.
Not interested. Sorry, bro.
Whoa. Hold on there. Hear me out. It's a television show opportunity.
Hold on. So we could be famous. We could finally open that detective agency we've been talking about, Scott.
That reality TV thing's looking pretty good to me. You don't even need no talent. I say we hear him out.
All right, what do you got, old man?
I know a man who works at a talent agency that's booking for a show called Spills.
Oh, my God. All right, what is the conceit of this show, Mr. Old Wizard?
Well, before I tell you, allow me to let you know that the first prize is $7,000.
And how does one compete for seven big G's?
Seven G's, I could pay off my mortgage. Holy
All you have to do is drive a race car, a Formula One race car, and finish first in 3 weeks' notice in driving the Formula One race car.
Wait a minute. This is a real show. They're taking, like, random long-haul truckers and just throwing them in a Formula One, and then they race it for $7,000?
There's only one caveat.
What?
You gotta be drunk? I can do that.
Whatever gets you across the finish line, Scott Brushler.
Team Brushler!
Well, only one of you can win. But you can split it however you want. First and second place, actually, gets $7,000. Third place gets $100.
Fourth place, you're fired.
Here's the only caveat. You have to sign a legal release that if you die on the track, you die on the track.
Wait, what does that mean? Like, do not resuscitate? Or, like, you are allowed to...
You're not allowed to sue.
Oh, got
it. It's legal for them to transmit your death live over the television.
This is $7,000, you said, right? Dollars?
$7,000. Imagine how many hours in the long-haul cab of smelling Scott's farts you'd have to deal with to earn $7,000. Quickly, like, if both of you win, that's $14,000 just for you guys coming in one and two.
What, now, forgive me if I'm being pragmatic here, but isn't that the way life is? I mean, you're dead either way. What do you care if they transmit the images or not? If you're going to die, you're going to die.
Well, you know, that's kind of the conceit of the show, is try to run each other off the road and kill each other.
Oh, it's like a death race thing? Death Race 3000?
I mean, listen, we all have different definitions for things in life. Death Race is so final. Some have people died on Spills? Sure.
Let's call it the Happy Benefit Show.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
All right, Scott, are you in?
I'm so in. I would do this right now. I could use $7,000. That's fine. Wait. I agreed before I ask clarifying questions. Who are we racing against? Other schmucks like us?
Yeah, or are they like pro racers? Is this like the American, like the Running Man, where you have favored happy people?
Everybody will have no experience driving a Formula One race car except for the 3 weeks from when they are told that the show is going to be, that they're booked for the show, and when they race. So you will have as much experience as anybody else.
Kill Dale Jarrett, I was going to jump all over that. That's what I was going to say.
So wait a minute. You have this incoming freshman class of rookie drivers, and they learn to drive. Now, at what point do they encourage, maybe like drop a hint like, hey, and, you know, if you kind of T-bone someone into the side of the road, they're going to die. Not that, listen, I mean, that's
no
fine.
No more fun. Hey, listen, are you in or not? I got to get on the road. I'm just a wizened old trucker who's at a Hardee's.
I'm too chicken for this, period. I don't even want to watch the thing. I'm afraid I'll get killed. But if Scott's down, I'm down.
Scott's, okay, so you are in?
Yeah, no, I'm going to be in his pit team, giving him a back rub.
All right. Well, I scroll down the agent's number. I give it to you and Scott, and the old trekker gets on the road. You guys give a call. Next thing you know, a week later, you find yourself in the agent's office. And just so we're clear, Brian, you are not going to compete, or you are going to compete?
No, I'm going to play a support role on this. I'm too scared of the actual challenge.
Scott competes. It's on daytime television, and he wins $7,000 in the bank. But here's the thing. This is only the lowest rung of a series of reality television shows operate under this conceit. So if you win the lowest rung, which Scott just has.
When did this turn into a carny booth? What is going on?
Hey, listen.
You want the grand prize.
Listen, hey, the cowardly brushler. Why don't you shut your mouth and let the superstar do the talking,
all right?
So here's the deal.
So
Scott, number one, you're doing great. This is fantastic. Here's the next step. You're already getting letters. You're getting fan mail. Life is good. You ain't never going to see the cab of a long-haul truck again in your life. All you have to do to take that next step in your career is be on the new show, Emergency.
What is now? What's the new show, Emergency? This is, you use your driving skills to go save lives by cutting through New York traffic?
Well, here's the deal.
Or you cause emergencies.
No, what Emergency is. But last week on Emergency, a man woke up to find himself on a sinking submarine. He had to surface the submarine, and he won $23,000.
Please tell me this is all real. Please tell me.
We're getting a little bit into the area where I might call fiction. If I choose to get in a race car, drive it around a track, and wrap myself around a telephone pole, I can see where there's plausible deniability.
Yeah,
but slipping me a Mickey and then putting me in a bathysphere and dropping me down and putting me in a sub and then shutting everything down, saying, guess what? Now you know aquatic physics or you die. I don't think that's...
But come on. Well, tell me
this,
that's not...
Just a clarifying point, which I've neglected to mention up till now, is that this scenario happens in a universe where the Legal Suicide Act has been signed in America. So you are allowed to sign over your life for a price that you deem fair.
This is like crazy Running Man world where it's just like, look, I cede for a dollar cost the ability for somebody to hunt or kill me at the according to the terms of the contract.
Yes. Nope. Closer than you know, Brian.
All right. Now here's the...
Follow along. That's the universe.
Okay. Now, I mean, weirdly, I'm okay with this universe, and I'm okay. The problem is the payout is so low. Like $7,000... And there's a chance that you might get crashed into in a car. It's like, well, I'll do that and I'll try to race real safely and maybe I'll win. But then like $23,000, this sinking sub thing, that's...
Well, and hey, again, cowardly brushler. You know, all I'm hearing is just no.
All right, it's not up to me. It's up to my big bro.
I couldn't get into a car.
Scotty B.
Scotty, here's the deal. You don't know. It won't be the submarine again. They never repeat a scenario on Emergency.
You
but
could
if I wake up in another place with or without things in my body and in danger going on, if I'm unable to puzzle this out, then I actually die, and that's okay.
Yeah,
that's
but you'll, the deal, you'll, right? Yeah, but you'll figure it out. You were always the smarter of the BS bros. You can do this.
I know how a car works. I can go with the car. I cannot go with random emergency.
Yeah,
I'm
but
out.
So it's for you. It's the
now
big
remember,
unknown.
Now listen, you guys are not you now. You're the Brushler brothers.
We got
you
nothing.
You come from dirt, poor, Oshkosh, wherever.
Yeah, we don't even own our own rig. We're still making payments on that thing. We owe
$50,000. Yeah, you know, I'm telling you, Ma would be hella disappointed if I woke up in a grave somewhere and had to scratch my way out till my fingers were little nubs. She wouldn't like that at all, so I don't think so.
I'll tell you what, Mom would be disappointed in your cowardice. I'm going to step up to the challenge. I'll do the emergency. Let's do, like, get out of here, Scotty. Little bro, what? Number one.
1 week later, Brian.
Yes.
You wake up on an airplane, a 747.
No. And I have to land it?
Completely empty.
No.
On autopilot until all of a sudden autopilot cuts out.
It's at that point, can I at least, I pick up the phone, I pick up the radio, and I'm like, breaker 19, Scotty, where are you? It's me, Brian Brushler. Are you there?
No, I had to get this damn dog out from underneath the front porch. So, you know.
Well, listen. You call for Scotty, but there is no.
As soon as I take care of business.
Okay. All right. So what I call him? What do I hear?
You hear it doesn't matter. All you hear in your head is the clarion call that you need to land this plane. And despite the fact that the landing gear kind of hits on the side, you roll the plane. You are alive. At the end of it, you crack your ribs, but you're fine.
Well, that's good.
So now, it's the Brushler brothers, and now you're kind of getting a little notoriety.
Yeah, no, this is starting to go up. International
you guys
phenomenon.
Now you're a bit of the talk of the town. So you come back to the agent's office.
Now I feel like we're a little bit like puffed up right about it now because we've each faced down a challenge. We got race car. We got pilot MC. It's like, what else? Bring it. We are invulnerable. The BS
America
bros.
Loves you too. You're like the modern day Bash Brothers. I can't believe it. You two are just exploding stars right in front of my. I can't see. I can't see because of all the light coming off you guys. Here's the deal. The next step up, and we're starting to talk about big money here, people. Well, enough of this.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you. I can't hear you over the sound of my rhinestones. Did you see that I embroidered my trucker's gear? I shine like the heavens right now.
Hey, he bought Ma one of them high-end bedazzlers, not the discount shit you find at Costco. We're talking a Walmart bedazzler.
Yeah. All right. What do you got for us?
The show's called Torrio.
Torrio?
Torrio!
What can you tell us about it?
They say it like that because they're ethnic. Torrio!
I've landed a plane. I can do anything. What is this thing?
They want both of you.
Yeah, sure. I'm in.
If you win, you each get $79,000.
Yeah, that's more than, that's almost 10 times as much as the first prize.
And you want to know what? Even better, you get a free trip to Europe.
I always wanted to visit Africa. Let's do this.
Well, now, hold on. I don't truck with them there Europeans and all their free f-ing medical care and all that other bullshit.
Well,
so I don't know. Maybe if I can sell that for something, some of them liberals might want to go to Europe and ride their goddamn speed trains and Euro rail and shit. I'll do it for the 79 grand. I will not commit to betray my United States and go to Europe. I will not do it.
You don't have to make nobody's never mind. You don't have to make nobody happy. You take anybody's money, they giving it away. We'll go to Europe. We'll see them naked ladies dancing in France. And then we'll take their monies and run on back.
Well, you're not going to France. You're going to Madrid, Spain, where you'll be placed in a bullfighting arena and you will have to both kill a bull.
What do we got in the way of weapons?
It's in the grand tradition of the bullfighters of Spain.
Wait,
oh boy.
Those guys had a cape. Those guys, they fought
and
bulls.
And a sword.
We get swords?
79 grand to get in the ring with a bull. Do we got to kill his bitch ass? Can we just duck him?
I mean, we get.
No, you have to kill him. And you've already signed up. Boom. You're both on a flight. You go out to Spain and you kill the bull.
Yeah.
Now, It comes at the cost of a punctured lung.
That's all right.
2-1
has a massive facial scar.
Check him out.
That's look, man. It's all about the monies. It's all about the fame and the honeys and the blings.
All right. Now here's where it gets serious.
I'm sorry. This is where it gets serious.
Go boys, on. We've been playing around. We've been playing house for the last couple weeks here since I met you, and you've never been hotter. You're getting calls to be on. I got Christina Aguilera on the phone saying she wants to go to the Golden Globes with both of you. It's amazing.
What? We really should have gotten your name by now. And you do represent us? Is this who are you?
The show's called Underwater Perils.
So now we're dealing with drowning.
Here's the deal. 174,816 goes to the winner.
Okay. What do we have
now
to do?
Now imagine for a second how that can change your life. How taking that home can really make everything so much better. You can buy your own rig, buy your mama a house, bedazzle the house.
Whoa, bedazzled house, mama like that.
She would like a bedazzled house. You do have a good point.
Her new boyfriend's not high on the bedazzlers. Boy, that chap his hide. He's all blinded by the bling. All right, yeah, we're in. What do we do?
Here's all you have to do is be the first person to pull out a sunken treasure chest.
Was just anywhere?
Well, you'll be dropped off on a platform, you know, in a part of the ocean, and you jump in, and you have to just pull up the chest. Easy.
Is there a giant octopus?
There may be some wildlife.
Sharks?
maybe. That's what they said to Bear Grylls once. Yeah, there may be some wildlife. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Just go on the island, drink your own urine. You'll be fine.
there is one. Well, are you guys in?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we're in. We got nothing.
Yeah, I want to see Ma have a big dazzled house. Hell yeah.
There's only one catch.
Okay.
Only one person can be left alive when they open the chest.
See, that's what you're trying to do. You wait till after we commit. You can't break
You can't even walk
oh,
out
wait a minute.
The
wait
agency.
Wait a minute. I pulled a hammy. I'm going to have to drop out. I pulled a hammy just now. It's
that's,
painful.
Sorry. Look, you can't bust up the BS bros. The BS bros, we didn't bust up for Costco when they told us to long haul it in two separate trucks. We're not busting up for you.
And as you say that, you turn around the penthouse office of your agent and you just see a gigantic light up billboard that says this Thursday on Underwater Perils, it's Brushler against Brushler in the greatest television event of this season.
I'm already
locked in.
Let me tell you what, Justin, if this is not a real story, my heart will be forever broken. This is the greatest setup. I want to hear that this actually happened in Guatemala.
Next thing you know. Underwater Perils, Brian, unfortunately, has to take a diving knife to his brother Scott's neck.
Who, me?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I do. I guess. Sorry,
Scott's
bro.
Dead. You are $174,000 richer. And now you have the final. You come back to the agency.
Final. All right.
Now, no one's hotter on the planet. You are literally the magma's core. Brian.
I'm doing very well. In fact, I have eschewed my former accent. I've taken dialect lessons, and I'm very well-spoken. I look forward to hosting my own variety show.
The biggest show on television.
We call it the Scott Brushler Tribute Show. In fact, I dedicate my tribute to my fallen brother.
We get the call. Folks, it's no more of this sideshow nonsense. You're on Broadway, baby. It's the big cat, the apex of all television shows, Prize of Peril.
It's is a musical?
Grand prize, $1,589,239.
All right, to do what?
Brian, this is your brother from up in heaven.
All right, what?
I gotta tell you something. Now that I'm elevated to the land of the angels and the Nephilims and what have you, that Jesus told me that is one f***ing money. I realized that although you eschewed your dialect and you took some language lessons, that perhaps you don't realize that is as many as seven digits. That is a money.
That's
I think you should do it.
All right. That's you know what? I just had a vision. I don't normally broadcast these things, but the spirit of Ellen DeGeneres just told me to accept this. So, yes, we're good to go. What do I have to do?
All you have to do is survive in New York City for a week while a gang of murderers hunts you down and tries to kill you.
Oh, my God. Survive for a week in the urban jungle? Well, I'll tell you what, man. If I have the ghost of Scotty running me around, hell, excuse me, if I have the ghost of my dear departed brother, Scott, then I'm afraid the Brushlers are invincible, and I will accept your challenge. 1.5 million? Yeah, man, let's do that.
All right. And so there you are. You find yourself in New York City competing on the television show Prize of Peril.
And?
Which is the name of the short story by Robert Sheckley, written in 1958, that predates all of
the reality television,
of The Running Man.
Before Hunger Games, before Running Man, before anything.
Before Battle Royale.
Well, Scott would know all this. What other in that theme of reality television for your enjoyment kill each other's? I mean, is that the
series, this is the granddaddy of them all, as far as we were able to find on WeirdThings.com.
Series 7 was one that was after Running Man, but predated both Hunger Games and Battle Royale, I think.
But then 1957.
That Most Dangerous Game is another one. That goes way back. That predates even Running Man.
Yeah, Most Dangerous Game.
But Running Man was 85. This was 58. Now, all the shows that I quoted to you throughout the scenario are the actual shows that the protagonist goes through, including the Prize of Peril, which is the name of the final one. All of the money that I quoted for you was adjusted for inflation to the dollar amounts in that story.
Oh, that's brilliant. Okay, so those names were really the names of the shows that he envisioned?
Yeah, and listen, Robert Sheckley is a far better writer than I am orator for this story, so you should totally go read it. The link for it is on WeirdThings.com. But yeah, those are the themes of all the shows that they compete in, including the majority of it is the Prize of Peril. The majority of the story takes place while he's surviving
now,
the Prize of Peril.
As I dip back into my memory, the Apaches, the tribal American Indian Apaches, had a game called Do You Want to Put a Burning Coal in Your Scrotum, which is very similar to this.
And it was the original reality programming. They would
capture you, and you had the option of either being executed outright, or they could cut open your scrotum
play
and
the game.
A burning coal, sew it back up, and then you'd be free to go on your way.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
And just if you have a hesitation on what you want, just take a look at this big fat wampum that could be yours.
So here's what's weird to me. And anytime I see like a science fiction thing, that there are so many times that I roll my eyes like,
Sorry. Apparently, Most Dangerous Game was 1924.
Right. But it wasn't a reality TV show, though. That was just for the amusement of people who wanted to hunt a dude, right?
They didn't have TV in 1924.
But they weren't broadcasting
Absolutely.
It. That's
well, this,
true.
Yeah, the idea of killing people for sport and entertainment is certainly one that goes on, or has been around far longer than the reality television idea. Okay. But this was easily the first that we could find of the mass media element. And also, what's it called? Having a lot of this really kind of, you can see the seeds of where Hunger Games sort of came from. I'd be shocked if Suzanne, whatever her name is.
Collins.
Collins, who wrote Hunger Games, had not read this, because there's a lot, especially in terms of innocent people helping.
Dude,
or like the idea of
she stands by her story that she never heard of Battle Royale at all. So there's no way she's going to claim she's read this one.
Well, yeah. I think that it they both treaded on interesting similarities. I don't want to take shots at
yeah
Suzanne
go ahead
Collins.
Start a fight, just get you get Suzanne Collins all riled up against the Weird Things podcast. That's yeah. Amazing so here's what I was going to say is this stuff that's so prescient that like a lot of stuff, like I was really annoyed at Back to the Future's predictions, Back to the Future Part 2, when they go into the future, and yet like I thought so many of them were so over the top. And yet, how many of them they
like
got?
Like the Cubs winning the World Series?
Yeah, right. But it's like so many of them were exactly dead on, from the video conferencing to watching multiple channels to the fact that, you know, even there's hints of social media, because like while he's talking to his boss, it has like factoids popping up underneath, like, you know, hates beer, likes this.
I can't get over the fact that when I watch those movies, that Marty is banging his girlfriend, who is also his great, great, great grandmother. I don't, you know, that's kind of weird to me.
Did I miss that part?
Yeah. You go back, watch the one in the Old West and look at his great, great, great granddad's woman.
Is the same. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's a little creepy.
But also, he's the progeny of his own terrible Irish accent, which is also equally as disturbing.
All right. Touch a tie.
All right. Well, there we go. Everybody, check it out. You can find the link on weirdthings.com. It's the prize apparel. It's a great short story, and you can read it pretty quickly. So I recommend everybody going to check that out. The link is there on the site. Before we go any further, let me give a big fat shout out to Brandon Curtis. He says that he would like to shout out RCP75, currently serving in Afghanistan. He's a longtime fan, and the only thing that keeps me from from tuning in live is the crappy internet connection here. Keep the weird things coming.
Dude.
And we would like to say a shout out to him. He tried to buy a sponsored spot and we refunded his money because we support any and everybody who is serving out there. And thank you so much to Brandon for
I'll send him some books.
Oh, yeah. Get you some audio.
I'll forward you his email address, but we'll
Scotty
totally take care of that.
Yeah. Well, the Brushwoods, we're not exactly big on reading. Let's just...
We like words being spoken at us. It's easy.
Let's just say that there's one book, and that would be the holy text of his Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's right. It's the good
and,
book.
And then some Old Testament stuff, which we don't know too much about. But the New Testament stuff's all very nice. But outside of that, I do realize that there are some people who prefer to read the small black lines on the white page. And if I can facilitate this... For a serviceman, mind you, only for a service person, then that would be all right.
See?
Excellent.
He's got a heart of gold. That's why he was the bigger brother who died.
All right. Scott, in this next scenario, you are a geologic scientist.
A geologic scientist. He's a smart man. This is like a half a hair from the truth, actually. That's how smart he is.
Absolutely.
Now, half Brian, a hair? Bitch, I got a geode. Right
oh, my
here.
God, you do. You have a geode right there next to your computer.
I got a geode. Well, it goes on my shelf.
Hold that next to your head.
Most of the time, goes in my pants to make me more impressive, but right now, I got a geode.
Okay, good.
Just do me a favor. Just hold that next to your head so you continue to read geologic scientist on camera.
That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Brian?
Yes.
You are a citizen of Atlantis.
You mean Atlantis, Maine, right? Small town, population
Atlantis,
800.
The lost continent. Oh, so many years ago.
All right, now which version of Atlantis is this? I'm just like Joe Schmo in Atlantis before it went underwater, or am I crazy merman in underwater Atlantis?
You are, it's pre it going underwater.
All right.
This is back. Because Atlantis was an amazing technological super hub.
It was like Peoria.
Era. So far advanced, and so farther than we are advanced. In fact, what you've done on Atlantis as a scientist is figured out not only that Atlantis is doomed.
Oh, this is like a disaster movie, and it's like I've looked at the geological surveys, or actually, no, I probably that's what Scott's for. I guess I've looked at the scribes, the ancient scrolls. That said, guess what? You're about to get completely entombed in a billion pounds of water.
Absolutely. Also, you've opened up a hole in space-time.
Of course I have. To where?
You've Scott's office.
Wait, and Scott is from U.S. of A. America.
Present day. Okay.
All right, okay.
And now you, because not only have you found out that Atlantis
is doomed.
Is going to be underwater, you found out the next time the volcano that causes Atlantis to go under will again erupt and take down a massive civilization. You don't know exactly what that civilization is, but you do know that it will happen. And as you've charted things out kind of foundation style, you know that many lives will be lost.
Okay.
And you now need to tell somebody in that era that they need to act, raise awareness, and clear everybody out of that area, or else we will have a second
delay. Quick question. When this hole through space-time erupts, am I aware of whether it's in the past or in the future? Because that would definitely color the way I try to interact with Scott.
You know it's in the future. You don't know the customs of the future. You are just in your toga.
Yeah.
And you have your Atlantean hairstyle.
So here's what I do. Like, because I just assume the future, like, there's no way they speak my language or anything. Essentially, Scott's in his office. All of a sudden, just bloop, this hole erupts. And all of a sudden, I'm doing crazy charades. Like, I'm all dancing around.
Well, explain it.
Well, no, it's like I'm waving at him. I guess I can't pass through it, right?
No, you cannot pass through it. So, Scott, all of a sudden, a big bloop bloop happens. There's some kelp. Maybe, a seashell falls out of this hole in space-time. And
well,
now you
hope
see
that it's a kale salad, because I've been eating more vegetarian, because I am a geologic scientist. We are very interested in keeping our health and our souls as one with the geology. So I will have a kale salad. And if there is some seaweed on the side, if it is wrapped up around some rice, which is wrapped up around some shrimp, I find this acceptable. Continue your story.
All right. So it's like you got a hole, and I guess we're just looking at each other first. And not unlike what we're seeing right now on the video currently being live streamed, where it's like it's just the two of us like, hey, hey, hey. And then at some point, I guess you kind of like.
Well, Scott, what's your reaction? This dude, Brian, imagine him with a crazier hairstyle than he has right now, is just waving at
wearing
you
a toga
randomly.
I guess you could tell from the architecture that I'm not from modern day.
But I can see into his city. Is that what the thing is?
Yeah, you can see my office.
All you see, it's like a mirror in time. Like you just are looking into it, and
I would say, is this one of those YouTube videos that you kids are always making? What is it that you are trying to pull here with your newfangled communication devices known as the new media? I would like to know. How do I know you are actually from the past and or the future?
See, and all I got is waving because I have no idea what he's saying.
Oh, well, that's a good story.
I mean, it's like the biggest problem is language, because it's like, how do you even effectively communicate at all between the two? I mean, it's like
doomsday charades, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I need to get your attention and make you understand.
Words, three words. You are.
Since we're going to bleep that, Scott's saying you are in a bad way.
Yes, exactly. you are in on the barrel head, unfortunately. Look, I'm going to say there's a communication breakdown. I don't see how you can even get the word out. Like, how would you charade? Maybe you draw pictures. That's what I'd do. I would grab some charcoal.
Well, Brian, at some point, would you get frustrated?
Very much so. This is not even real. I'm already frustrated just thinking about it.
So do you at some point scream an exclamation of frustration?
Yes.
About the situation?
Yes.
At which point Scott realizes that you're speaking English.
Oh. So now we're talking.
And then, because the time portal does translate to native tongues.
Ah, damn it.
I was going to draw a volcano, but it sort of looks like a sea anemone, and I don't want him to think a big sea anemone is going to eat the world.
All right, look, now we're apparently able to talk.
Well, no. You're just trying. You have no idea. Scott, you're just sitting there watching a dude jump around and make, you know, hand gestures until he screams, F word. Are you serious?
Jump up and get down. Okay, I'm watching.
Right, and then
so now you're talking.
Right, so now we're talking. Hey, hello, my name is Brian, and I am a person of science here in Atlantis. Have you heard of Atlantis? Are we still around in the future?
I've heard of the myth of Atlantis, Brian, and I'm happy to make your acquaintance. You will have to verify for me that Atlantis actually exists, and you are not one of the children on the YouTube.
Okay, that's not good. You said the myth of Atlantis. That means we're not so much around in the future, eh?
No, if you were around back then you had your balls handed to you.
Okay, listen, we know it's not looking good for us here in Atlantis. Just a little FYI, BT dubs, LOL. It's going to happen in wherever you are. Where are you, by the way?
I am in New Brunswick, Colombia, the center of geo-research throughout the world.
Yeah.
Fine, fine center of Columbia University, a learned establishment.
Yeah, it's also the scene of the next big crap storm. You're definitely going to be underwater, and it's all over for you. So, sorry about the bad news. There's a fantastic new reality show that we're going to watch. It's a big hit here in Atlantis. It involves two brothers from Long Haul Trucking. Sorry to ruin your day. Have a good one.
Brian, your mission. So you get called back into your boss's office on Atlantis.
He's like, he's chewing me out. He's like, do you know how expensive that time vortex was?
Brian.
Yeah.
So I'm your boss.
Yeah.
Brian, so you had the call to the future where you had to warn them to escape civilization this whole us dying thing doesn't repeat itself again, right?
Yeah. I talked to the Supreme Leader.
How'd that go?
I'm good. I told him. He, a bit of a jerk. Didn't really, he said we were mythical. He said we should buy a boat for the incoming apocalypse.
You didn't convince them that they needed to evacuate the area or else massive death and destruction.
I mean,
they will lose a bit of civilization like we have. Or will.
I told him. What can I do? You know, it's like I'm but a messenger. I told him and he was just like, he taunted me, basically. He was like, how long can you tread water, bro?
All right. I'm going to need you to do a 180, mister.
Yeah.
I need to get back in there, open up another space-time hole, and you need to convince him to get everybody out of the area of where this volcano is.
If I can come out of
here, we can't have the blood in our hands.
All right.
Just remind me to never actually work for Justin ever. That wouldn't work out for you.
Yeah, every time we deal with Justin, he's a jerk boss. Okay, look, we're going to call up. Hey, geologist, I got some geological news for you. So,
I'm sorry, I was shagging my secretary. How unfortunate that you caught me in this compromised moment with her frilly skirt up somewhere around her ears and or eyebrows. I assure you, this does not happen on a regular basis, but it does happen. Shut-a-boom.
Listen, I'm guessing, given your current circumstance, that you have not evacuated your entire country. Is that right?
I have evacuated something, but not my country.
So, it's not a joke. You guys are all going to die, and your whole civilization is going to be wiped out. What can I do to convince you that this is a clear and present danger and that, seriously, you're about to get it bad? Because we are more advanced than you in the past. Think about that. You guys haven't even caught up to where we are.
If we're going to role play, I'll play along. You could provide me some kind of predictive scientific evidence that would show me what kind of cataclysm is rapidly approaching, and we could examine the data and evaluate for ourselves if this will actually happen, and therefore we could prepare in time.
Can't you just
You show him ancient scrolls. He goes back and checks GPS monitoring systems that have been placed on this volcano and find that they're in fact is increased activity, and that there is a widening diameter of the volcano itself that would indicate that it is going to again explode where the mythical city of Atlantis is, the volcano that was supposedly the one that buried the mythical city.
So good. So there, now there's your evidence, Mr. Science Man. So are you going to evacuate? Look, I'm only looking out for the generation after your generation. I don't even have a dog. I'm already dead. In fact, can I crawl through this hole? Can I join you guys on that side?
Are you saying you want a time-dimensional three-way with my secretary?
If that's the cost to get out of Atlantis, then yes, because it's not looking good for us over here.
Apparently, there is a three-way theme going on in this episode. Be they sibling-related or not. But yes, at this point, I believe that your volcano is going to evacuate itself upon the planet. I find your data acceptable.
All right. So can you get on that with the evacuation of all the living people? Because that would be good for your survival.
Where exactly are we supposed to take them?
Just sketchy on that. Not where you are. Away from volcano is our best guess. Look, I mean, clearly we're not the best people to advise you. It didn't work out so well for us citizens of Atlantis.
I pitch it back to the narrator. I don't know what to do at this point.
Well, I'll tell you what. Somewhere this conversation might be happening because, in fact, the ancient volcano that was supposedly the cause of mythically burying the city of Atlantis is again ready to explode.
What volcano is this?
The cataclysmic eruptions at the Greek Isle of Santorini 3,600 years ago that spewed forth 9.5 to 14.3 cubic miles of lava and devastated the ancient seafaring Minoan civilization, potentially inspiring the lost city of Atlantis legend, is ready to explode again.
So who's in danger of it exploding this time?
That would be portions of the Mediterranean.
The Greek economy is not doing so good, so it's really not that big of a loss.
That's right. In fact, they're kind of hoping this would be a nice insurance write-off for them.
Flash forward 100 years, all those people are going to be dead anyway. So I don't know.
You get all Zen Fight Club on it on a long enough timeline. The survival rate of everyone drops to zero, Brian. I mean, it's just right. Pure economics.
So scientists found that by June 2011, the 22 GPS stations that they had installed inside the volcano had been pushed 0.2 to 1.3 inches further down the caldera, or whatever that's
called.
Caldera,
yeah.
Than they had been just 6 months earlier.
So
things are rapidly, S is going down in clay class.
How good have we gotten with predicting volcano eruptions? I know that nowadays, like, we look back and just with Mount St. Helens, geologists seem to say, like, oh, well, we totally should have been able to see that coming. But now we could. So I don't know.
Well, they're saying that the swelling right now is only a fraction of that that was behind the initial legendary Minoan eruption, but that this could be the first sign. See, normally when you ask that kind of question,
I mean, come on, though. All of known civilization was a pretty limited area at the time. They had no idea about most of the world, the size of the world, and destroying civilization. Yes, we got a volcano. There's a couple of tidal waves, and Fiji gets fucked up again. How much of a problem is this really? Will this interrupt the 2012-2013 NFL season? That's all I care about.
See, now you're talking like Middle Greece right there.
Let me remind everybody that Scyther Podcast, scytherpodcasts.com is your place to go for this stupidity on professional wrestling and other topics. Morning shows, fantasy, gaming shows, random talk shows, you name it, they've even done it. I've actually been on their Beyond the Mat wrestling show talking about wrestling. So check them out, scytherpodcast.com, and we thank them for supporting the Weird Things podcast.
Did they say stupidity, or was that you editorializing?
Stupidity? Stupidity?
No, I mean, like I just want to make sure you didn't call a sponsor's podcast stupid. And that
no,
whatever
they deliberately request to be called stupid.
Okay, good.
Scott,
yes.
A police official shows up at your house. It's Brian. Brian's a police official.
A lot of people don't know this. This is official military grade haircut.
All right. Brian, you need to convince Scott that there's a major security issue at hand, and you're going to need to do some minor construction, government-mandated construction
in
on the
house?
Top of his house.
On the top of his house. Okay, look, here's the thing, Scott. I don't normally knock on. I'd much rather be writing tickets for people running red lights, but occasionally you just have to do your real work, and there's a credible security threat to – yes, what is
Hold
your question?
Hold on 1 second. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Hold that thought.
Now you're standing at Scott's door. It's wide open. And how are you feeling?
I didn't go to police academy to go through this. This is not how I wanted to be treated.
I'm afraid this requires a sailor hat.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I'm glad that is a mighty fine hat. But as I was just saying, that's there's a problem with your house, and there's a bit of a security risk. We're gonna have to do a little bit of alterations up on the roof. Are you good
Shark
with that?
That size will swallow you whole. I'm concerned about the roof. Gonna be out on the boat. Looking out for that shark. It's a tiger shark.
Okay, so that means you're okay with it, right? We can fix your roof so we can save the people.
I don't care about your landlubbers' houses and your roofs and all your things that don't matter.
Great.
Go right ahead and fix up the roof if that'll suit you. Just don't charge me your union labor.
Okay, you got it. I think we're all on the same page here.
Old seafarer, as it turns out, you're a little bit more particular about your roof. In fact, your roof was made out of the sunken battleships of your enemies, and you're really kind of particular about it.
As long as my roof is not on fire, I am very particular about this. Therefore, because it was made out of the sunken bones of my enemies, I do not wish you, police officer, to mess with my roof.
Do you want to go knocking door to door and apologizing to the slain families when this credible threat really comes to pass? I mean, do you want responsibility, or can we just, you know, tinker with your roof a little bit?
I not only slayed my enemies, I slayed the families of my enemies and laid waste to a generation.
Okay, look, you were great in that last international conflict. I mean, nobody's doubting your war hero status. We just really, I don't want to insinuate that the whole town could explode, but I'm not going to not insinuate that it might explode. It's important that we tweak your roof.
As a fan of fiction, let me make sure I understand what you are postulating. You're saying that my roof could somehow be responsible for a cataclysm equivalent to a tiger shark coming out of nowhere to bite the world in the taint. My roof, which is made from the bones and the planks of my enemies,
yes.
is somehow some plutonium-laden mass that could then forego nuclear and critical and chain reaction and blow up everything.
We are.
It's in a very strategic place.
Yeah, it's not.
They need to install equipment there.
You're goddamn right. It's a strategic place. It's over my bedroom.
Listen, I'm just saying. There's a bit of equipment we can install. Might save the world. What do you say? You got your dish antenna up there. What could we be affecting? Come on, man.
I'm gonna need to see some kind of government issued authorization.
This is all the authorization I have, brandishing my weapon.
Don't brandish your weapon. Brian, you text the home office, and you're like, listen, the old sea captain's being a little briny, so I need some evidence or I need some more information on this to let him know. Here's what you get back. It's going to be a very simple two-day construction project.
See?
It's really only going to be a few brackets.
Just some brackets.
It's only going to hold a very, very small and compact rocket launcher.
I'm sorry. It sounded like you said rocket launcher.
Just a really svelte. They're going to camouflage it so it doesn't really even stand out. It's going to look like a big bird.
This is you realize this is a harder set. This sea captain is nuts. I can't go back to him and mention rocket launcher.
So good luck with that, Click.
Okay, listen. Sea Captain. Captain, are
yes.
you there? Hey.
I've just been out searching for a hammerhead shark.
Okay, listen. We want things to be more festive around here, so we thought we would preset some fireworks for the next time that we want to show in the sky with explosions. And I'll give you cotton candy. How does that sound?
I'll tell you how it sounds. I was on the Indianapolis. We were in the water for weeks. No one knew we were there. Sometimes you smack a shark, you go away. Sometimes you don't. And now you want to put fireworks on my roof.
Yes, yes. Are you in?
Tell me, is it some kind of national defense situation?
Yeah, let me call my boss on this one. I was wondering that myself. Hold on, let me give it. Hey, Justin, are you there, buddy?
Yeah. Hey, are we a go on the sea captain?
We're like 99.3% there, buddy. Just funny thing nagging us. What are we afraid of again? It's like this is to stop something.
It's a preventative thing.
I we got that. And listen, he thinks it's fireworks. He's gonna be down with it. We just want to know what we're preventing by doing this. By the way, this guy is a hoot. We should have him on NSFW sometime.
We're protecting, it's a high value target that is going to be really attractive to terrorists. And his house is in a place where if someone were to try and fly something into it, we'd be able to shoot it with the rocket launcher.
Okay. Can you give me a hint? I mean, if I looked around, I might see what national monuments were nearby. Can you tell me where I am?
Yeah, it's kind of sort of like the 100-meter dash.
Wait, what does that mean?
What? It's a race. People from around the world
race each other. That's what we're preventing? Is that what?
Well, it's a high-value target.
Wait a minute. Are we in London? Is this related to the Olympics? Is somebody thinking about crashing a plane in the Olympics, and the only way to do it is to set up a rocket on this sweet sea captain's ship?
The Ministry of Defense in the United Kingdom has alerted residents of some apartment buildings that they will be installing rocket launchers on top of the buildings in case they need to defend against an airborne threat during the 2012 Olympics happening in a few months.
Okay. Wow. Sea Captain, listen, I just got word back and I can
Number one, we're both British.
Yeah. Listen, I could say for 100% reality that you will definitely be attacked by a tiger shark unless I put these rockets on your roof. Can I get this done?
Shark that size, swallow you whole. So all right. I don't like you because you haven't been on the water and I can tell. You can smell it on a man because he doesn't smell like salt and feces. But I'll tell you right now, you can put your rocket on my roof, Chief. You can put it up there. But if you miss, I swear, I'll throw you in the water myself.
Okay, no, I believe you. And then I'll be all wet. Thank you so much. I'm glad this went so well. Oh, my God. How do you deal with... I can't decide which is more awkward, to get the message or to be the guy who's got to give the message.
Well, there was no message given. And they put up flyers and just said, okay, BT Dubs, gonna put a rocket launcher on your roof.
Oh, you Cheerio, know they got the pip, fucking pip. Monty Python guys to do that. Hello! They're gonna put a launcher on your roof! All right, then! You know, they just, come on, that's a Monty Python skit right there.
Oh, my God. That is insane. Okay, now, here's the thing. I don't know. It almost screams like it's a dare at that point. When you go put up surface-to-air missiles and so on, that can't be an effective use of everyone's time and energy, can it?
Well, but do you really want to be the bureaucrat on the hook when you could have blown something up with a surface-to-air missile?
Yeah, that's a good point. Man, I guess you're spending the
Olympics
money.
I mean, you only get the Olympics. Your city only gets the Olympics once in a lifetime. I think you're pretty much pulling out all the stops.
Yeah, and that is the kind of thing where it's like, that's good press no matter what. It shows you being proactive, thinking about the things that other people are afraid of. I understand why they do it, but I hate that that's what they're wasting time and effort on.
Would you do it, Brian?
What?
Would you raise a stink if it was your apartment building in London?
I totally would. I totally
Shit,
would.
No, give me the button, motherfucker. I'm sorry. Give me the button. Dude, if I could throw a kegger on my roof with my rocket launcher, come on. That's once in a lifetime. Invite your boys over and you're like doing a beer ball. And you're like, woo!
So you're saying, Scott, you're saying totally cool. One caveat, missile party.
He's got like the stuffy dean from apartment 5C.
I'm from Michigan. We used to have a party when someone built a potato gun. Okay, so if you're gonna put an actual rocket launcher on our roof, that's a throwdown. That is a throwdown.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Hey, I know that Scott's got limited time here. Do we have another sponsor we can do some picks?
We certainly do, Brian. Box Office Bookie is a new browser-based game that allows players to bid and earn points on this season's upcoming movie releases. Registration is completely free, and matches can include up to 4 friends. And this is inspired by the Summer Movie League that we do, the Summer Movie Fantasy League that we do every single year. So let me make sure that I got the right URL because I got clipped on that.
Yeah, I believe it's – I'm going to go to boxofficebookie.com. And
yeah, I think that's it.
B-O-O-K-I-E.
Yeah, that's
correct.
It.
Correct.
Yeah. Boxofficebookie.com. That's where you are going to go to get your summer movie fantasy league fix in a different form. It's pretty cool. The site's well built, so go ahead and check it out. BoxOfficeBookie.com. And also, again, we will remind you, as we always do, that $30 gets your spot read here on the Weird Things podcast that we are doing weekly. So check that out. Let's move on to recommendations.
I don't want to say what our numbers are, but let me just say that's an exceptional CPM. That is a very good value for $30.
Well, and they're starting to fill up a little bit. So I'll tell you what, buy them while they're still $30.
Yeah.
Is what I'm going to tell
everybody. That's a good way to put it. Hey, man, so we were talking about The Running Man, and it just got me thinking about the whole Richard Bachman saga that, Stephen King, of course, wrote under a pen name for a number of years, doing more science fiction-themed stories, including, is it The Long Walk? Is that what it is? Let me look that up.
Long Walk, The Running Man, Thinner.
Yes.
There's two more I can't quite remember.
I'm going to suggest that you do the audiobook recordings of all of those, because that whole period is really fascinating, because it's especially you realize all of those have become blockbuster franchises except for The Long Walk. The Long Walk is the only Bachman book that's totally untapped, because Apt Pupil, that was another one they did in that time period.
They made a movie out of the Running Man. It's basically Hunger Games.
They did The Running Man. They did Apt Pupil. They did Thinner, but they have not done The Long Walk. That's the only one that still is untapped. But it's really quirky and it's fun. There's even times where Stephen King is actually making fun of himself because he's ostensibly writing as somebody else.
Roadwork was the other Bachman book.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Roadwork. Yeah. But check out some of the Richard Bachman stuff.
I love
right.
it.
Scott?
The Richard Bachman stuff, I think, is great. And as a writer, it's a crazy story. These are some of these books he couldn't get published. And they were basically on his scrap heap. Nobody wanted them. And then when he was the hottest thing on the burner, all of a sudden, everybody wanted everything he had, even if it didn't have his name on it, which is freaking bizarre. But they put it out and they put some muscle behind it. And in publishing, if you put money into it, it's going to sell books. So.
Right, right. No, that's good. So what do you got to recommend for us, Scott?
I got two things to recommend. I got to recommend this book, Leviathan Wakes, by James S.A. Corey. It's kind of a big old space opera, and it's the cool part of it is it's space opera, but it's all contained within our solar system.
Oh, so it's fantastic.
Earth, and then it plays on U.S.-Russia Cold War era politics, and it gets into speciation a little bit, where as mankind starts to go out to the stars and has 30 or 40 generations, basically you're branching off into another species. So some really cool stuff, but it's just one of those ideas I wish I had thought of first, which is spaceships and all that great stuff, but all within our solar system, because they have not come up with faster than light travel. So they're able to stay within that boundary and still tell a really, really cool story. So I recommend that. And then I'm about to watch this. I haven't seen this yet. The Gray.
I don't know anything about The Gray. What is the
next? Oh, my God. It's Liam Neeson and a pack of
wolves.
A oil crew, their plane crashes in the Alaskan Arctic, and they happen to crash in the territory of some gray wolves, which are bad MFers.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Die Hard versus Die Hard in the snow, because they're one-offing each other left and right.
They're fighting against the wolves.
Against the wolves. And the wolves are slowly taking the guys out one by at one, but then the guys are taking the wolves out one by one. So it's the classic monster story where you don't know which character is going to make it, except they're also doing exactly the same thing to the wolf pack. So I'm super excited to see that. And if I may plug, I now do a weekly movie review show at youtube.com/Scott Sigler.
Absolutely.
And you'll be able to watch it there.
Right on. Dude, that's fantastic.
Here we go.
What about
check
you, Justin?
Out. And directed by Joe Carnahan, who's one of those directors that's like kind of hot and cold, but this one got a lot of really good reviews. I actually really like Carnahan's work. He's done, let's see, I know he did Smoke and Aces, which was a fairly ridiculous movie, but I kind of really enjoyed.
It looked great, though. It was a ridiculous movie, but it was gorgeous to watch.
Yeah, Narc, Blood, Guts, Bullets, and Octane, which was one of the kind of original action indie movies back in 1998. So check that out. He is pretty awesome.
Okay.
All right. My pick is this. Avengers are coming out this week, so I'm going to pick one of my favorite Iron Man stories. This is a Demon in a Bottle, which is commonly kind of just known as the Iron Man becomes an alcoholic storyline.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that as we are at this kind of new peak of what these characters and what comic books have meant to the popular culture with Avengers, which is going to be gigantic. It's going to be absolutely massive. It'll be kind of the first time that we've seen the super dirt under the fingernails nerdy feeling that you get whenever you read a comic book and all of a sudden another character from another comic book shows up and you get really excited to see how that dynamic plays in with each other. To look back at other times that things have kind of taken that leap, especially inside the Marvel Universe, Demon in a Bottle was certainly one of them. I will say it is dated. If there's anybody, any Iron Man comic scribe that wants to kind of redo the Demon in the Bottle storyline, fair game. I think it's well in need of a reboot.
Well, because you remember, that was part of the whole thing with Tony Stark. He was always so fashionable, which meant like his women looked like very 80s in the 80s, and they looked very 70s in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of that. And this is a book I'm flipping through it now. I mean, I see Captain America and Namor, and there's, you know, all the kind of Avengers characters take their time in this particular
spoiler
story.
Alert. If I remember my Demon in a Bottle correctly, he finally kicks alcoholism by sweating a lot and taking a shower and then going for a run. Is that's pretty
he
much
he does. There's a lot of sweating, a lot of running, and a lot of swimming. He
Dude,
swims
that's
a lot.
So weird. That's how I kicked meth and crack all at the same time. It was a long afternoon. Don't
that's
get
right.
me wrong.
I know it was a busy
easy.
One.
It was a long afternoon, but I kicked it.
Yeah, no. Let me see if I can find it. It's really is amazing to see how easily Iron Man kicks alcoholism.
Well, when
but then
once he has a mind
Tony Stark.
To it, you know, it's like Tony Stark doesn't do anything, you know, half cocked. I mean, he goes all the way to the depths of depravity and then comes back. I should point out, you know, I recommended the Bachman books, but I'm actually completely spaced. I've been reading like they're candy. Kevin Hearn's Iron Druid Chronicles. Have you heard of this, Scott?
I have not.
Basically, it's about a druid who's 2,100 years old or so, and he realizes that part of the way he keeps himself out of the limelight is by keeping up with the modern vernacular, the way kids talk today, so that he you know, basically drops a whole bunch of Star Wars references and the Simpsons references or whatever. It's got him and a talking dog, and he runs in. It's got kind of this American gods theme where it's like basically any, you know, the Norse gods are around and also the Olympians are around. And he's currently pissed off one of the Celtic gods. And being the last druid, it's, you know, him and dealing with the old lady down the street. And it's really fun. It's candy. The guy who reads the audiobook does an exceptional job. It's Hounded by Kevin Hearn is the first. But if you just look up the Iron Druid Chronicles, I recommend doing the audiobook on that.
Check them the hell out. But that about wraps it up for this week. One final reminder that the Andrew Main Stories podcast features stories written by Andrew Main and read by me. Thank you so much. We're now in the literature category amongst awesome other literature podcasts like Scott's podcast and the Sword and Laser podcast. So we are very happy to be in such good company. Thank you to everybody who has downloaded it since we talked about it last week. Continue to go get it. The new one that we did last week, Die Uberman, I think is really, really awesome. I enjoyed reading it. And that about wraps it up for us. Thank you so much, Scott, for coming in and hanging out.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. It was a good time.
Yeah, we got to get the BS Absolutely. Bros back together.
We'll go to the long haul trucking. Another bullet to make that happen, but we can work on it.
Well, thank you, folks, for surviving me shepherding this episode. Thankfully, Andrew Main will be back next week, where he can tell you then it's been weird.
You want to sponsor the podcast? Do you have $30? If so, go to weirdthings.com/sponsor. You can have Justin say whatever you want. He's a trained ape.